Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Jenny Taft. I'm here to tell you about an exciting event taking place this Monday, January 13th, in conjunction with the College Football National Championship game. Join Fox Sports college football analysts Joel Klatt and Reggie Bush, plus rules analyst Mike Pereira on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube as they watch the game live with you, commenting on all the action between Joe Burrow and LSU and Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson Tigers. And honestly, guys, here's my thing. I wanted to see Ohio State in this one, but I think LSU, Joe Burrow, I think they win this one. I think this has been a storybook year and season for Joe Burrow. I'm going with LSU. Fox Sports National Championship live stream watch party kicks off at game time this Monday, January 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The watch party will feature special guests, unique segments, a halftime breakdown, and many other surprises. Be sure to follow at CFB on Fox on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to CFB on Fox and the Fox Sports channels on YouTube, where you can tune in to join the watch party. The event will be streaming live on all platforms beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on Monday, January 13th. See you there. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are ready to host Deshaun Watson and the Texans on Sunday. Mahomes led the Chiefs to a 12-4 record this season, despite missing two games with a knee injury. Meanwhile, Deshaun completed 80% of his passes last week in a 16-point comeback against the Bills in the wild card round. So, Shannon, who is the better QB in this game, Mahomes or Deshaun? Yep, that's the question.
I see all these cameras right here, so I ain't on candid camera. I ain't getting pumped
nope,
or anything.
Not today.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wait, I haven't spoken yet.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You already know the answer.
I haven't said a word.
You ought to be ashamed, though.
I do know the answer. Why is he ashamed?
My homeboy.
Oh, do you want me to go?
No, I don't want you to go. It's my homeboy.
Okay.
I want to make this abundantly clear. I want to make this crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. I want to make abundantly and crystal clear. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson is going to be the runaway MVP. If you say, Shannon, you get one quarterback moving forward, you could have one quarterback. Give me Patrick Mahomes, boy. It's not even close because he can do things we haven't seen, Skip. You know what? I said, Steve, I need you to pull something from me. Steve, my chief research, charge of research.
Steve Owens.
Yeah, he's charge of research operation.
He won a Heisman, and he manages to prep you for this show.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does.
I said, we need to pull some footage because I think people have forgotten just how talented he is because he didn't throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. DJ, can you drop that track? I got a little footage of my homeboy. It's showing you some things, Skip. You ain't seen anything like this.
Research.
Look at this, Skip. Look at the effort.
Who caught it?
That's Kelsey.
Oh, wait, the best pass catching tight end in football.
Did you see that jump pass? Did you see the jump pass?
Wait, who caught that?
Tyreek.
Oh, did you see him jump?
I'm glad you said that. Skip, did you know Tyreek Hill missed four games this year? And in the four games that he missed, my homeboy went 443, went 374, 343, and 321. You say Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins caught I think he caught eight balls for a buck 98 and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was the first game of the season against Jacksonville.
Yep.
Guess how many touchdowns Sammy Watkins finished with on the season, Skip? Three. He had that in the first game. So don't sleep on my homeboy because he's still doing it, Skip. Yep. And like I said, what happened is that when you have a historic season so early in his career, every season that you play after that, that's why they say Aaron Rodgers is on decline, because he had a historically great season. He goes 45-6, so everybody thinks that's what that, No. That's one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. And that's what you see with my homeboy. Skip, the throws that he can make, there are not any quarterbacks. I mean, he's a combination that he has the accuracy of throwing on the move of Aaron Rodgers, but he has the arm of an Elway and a Favre to throw the ball over the top of your head. Athleticism, you see him rush for a couple of touchdowns late in the season because everybody dropping off. He's like, he turbos on him. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. I like Deshaun. Deshaun Watson is a proven winner. He can extend plays, and it's just not good enough to get there. As Buffalo found out, Skip, they had the perfect defense call, perfect blitz. And guess what happened? They didn't get him on the ground. So I'm not trying to diminish him. But if you want to say, Shannon, you get one quarterback, give me Patrick Mahomes.
Your argument to me is as clear as broken glass, because I'm about to break all the glass that you just blew all over the table. If you give me one of those two quarterbacks to go forward and win games, I am taking Deshaun every Monday, Sunday, Thursday. Give me Deshaun Watson any day over Patrick Mahomes, because Deshaun clearly has stronger winners in tangibles. Deshaun Watson will make far more plays with his arm and his legs and his heart and his guts and his will than I have seen Patrick Mahomes make. And I give you, he's got the bigger arm, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't make more plays, because all I really need to show you is just one stat. I'll just close the case right here. So Patrick Mahomes has played 33 career NFL games as a starter. Mm-hmm. He has 3 fourth quarter comebacks and 4 game-winning drives.
Right.
Deshaun Watson has played 40 career games, so not that many more, 7 more career games. But he's got 9 fourth quarter comebacks and 11 game-winning drives, and that leads the NFL over the last 2 years. Nobody is close to doing what he does over the last 2 years.
Did somebody start those games and he come in? Because if he started that game, he's the reason they're behind.
Oh,
okay. And then my homeboy don't get behind.
So, do you remember what Dabo said before Deshaun was drafted?
I do.
Okay. He said, if they pass on Deshaun Watson, they're passing on Michael Jordan. This year, before John Gruden played Deshaun Watson, what did he say? I see Michael Jordan. I'm talking about game-saving, game-winning plays that you make athletically or just with your will, with your spirit, whatever that thing is that's inside Deshaun, I will take it any day and I will beat your guy with it. And your guy, let's be clear about this, no quarterback in the history of the NFL has ever fallen into a more advantageous situation
Dak
than Patrick.
Prescott.
Stop it.
Dak
Stop
Prescott.
It.
Dakota Rain. Prescott.
Did they trade up to get Dak Prescott? No, they traded back to get him.
Dak was in the fourth round, but you said.
Well, I'm just saying they kept saying, we want this guy and we missed on him, so I can't remember all the guys
Patrick
they wanted.
Lynch.
No, but then they wanted.
What, they wanted Johnny
Michigan State.
Oh, Connor Cook.
Connor Cook.
Oh, Cook, yeah.
You know, so they. We want this guy. We missed on him. Somebody took him.
No.
So we wound up with the fourth round guy.
But
so
you,
don't tell me it's a similar circumstance.
No, you said no quarterback has landed in a more favorable situation where you get Zeke Elliott.
Okay,
you get
stop
the top
it.
Offensive
you're,
line.
You're trying to change the subject because you know I'm going to really burn you with this one.
Okay.
Andy Reid traded up to take
he
Patrick
did.
Mahomes with the 10th. Pick, by the way, Deshaun went 2 picks later, 12th, okay? And they did trade up to get him, but still, it's a very different circumstance because Andy Reid has done everything in his power, and he is one of the great play callers in the history of this league. He does have offensive genius about him. Andy Reid does. You know it, and I know it. He's done everything in his power to make Patrick Mahomes look great. Patrick Mahomes is like the classic case of the spoiled rich kid who gets everything, everything you want. You want this? Oh, we'll get you this. You want? Oh, well, we'll get you that. How about the tight end that he has? How about Travis Kelce? Is there a better route running, pass catching tight end in pro football than this guy? There's not.
It's like George Kittle right there.
Okay, but I don't think so. I'm talking about a wide receiver of a tight end who can make acrobatic leaping catches and has not good hands. He's got great hands. You want to talk about the ultimate security blanket that Patrick Mahomes, when in doubt, he can just look for 87 and throw it in his vicinity and he'll probably catch it. And I got to look up the name here. Oh, yeah. What's his name? Oh, yeah. You ever heard of Jordan Atkins? That's the answer at tight end that Deshaun has. So
they got fails.
Jordan asked, yeah, but this guy caught the most balls of the tight ends. He caught 36. Travis Kelce caught 97 balls this year. Mm-hmm. And that leads me back to Tyreek. Is Tyreek? Boy, that's pretty. How about Sammy Watkins? You mentioned him. How about Mecole Hardman? How about DeMarcus Robinson? How about Byron Pringle? Every time I look up, they got another speed burner at wide out.
If you don't mind me asking, is DeAndre Hopkins any good?
Yeah, he's about it.
What about William Fuller IV?
Okay, is he going to play this weekend? I doubt
it. No, I'm just
a Fuller. Okay.
No. He's not playing this week.
Okay.
But he's had it.
And then Kenny Still.
Yeah, Kenny Still any good?
Okay, so you don't have any tight end of any note.
Oh, okay. But
no tight end of any note.
But you were trying to make it seem
okay,
like.
Okay, DeAndre Hopkins is basically sort of a possession type receiver. He doesn't run by people.
He ran by New England. He's your red by New England twice.
He's not a speed burner.
No, no.
He's not Tyreek.
Well, if you, there's nobody
okay.
Tyreek.
All right, well,
McCole
that's, thank
Harmon
you.
Is not Tyreek.
Thank you. And then Kansas City is one of the more stable, perfectly run organizations.
Yes.
You can trust day after day what they're going to do.
Fair.
I don't know what's going on with the dysfunction down in Texas because that they don't even have a GM anymore.
Right.
Now Bill O'Brien is supposedly totally in charge. And I got to tell you, if Deshaun Watson hadn't made one play late against Buffalo last weekend, yeah. I'm pretty sure Bill O'Brien would have lost his job because wow. that would just be too many disasters right. after you win the division or have a home uh-huh. playoff right. game, right?
Right.
And so if we could see that play that Deshaun saved the day on, this is just so vintage. This is Jordan-esque. I don't think anybody's Michael Jordan, but boom, boom, escape, completion, 45-yard gain, 40-yard wow. gain, I guess it was.
I mean, well, okay. yeah, well, I mean.
It just
how
won
he
the
got
game.
Out of that.
It saved the game, yeah. and it won the game. He got rocked on one side, and then he got rocked on the other. He's actually kind of fortunate because he got rocked and got stood
and
back up.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. So, crazy. But that he has done that consistently. What did I say before he got drafted? All you had to do is look back about at the two games against St. Nick's defense, Nick Saban's defense, in back-to-back national championship games. First one a loss, second one a win. But listen to the numbers against St. Nick's defense. He throws for 405 the first game and runs for 73. That was four touchdown passes, and they lose by five. Mm-hmm. And the second one, he throws for 420 and added 43 yards rushing and hit Hunter Renfrow with 1 second left to win the game, 35-31. That's just Jordan-esque in both games. And to me, if you put Deshaun in the Andy Reid system, you'd have unbeatable.
Well, Skip, the thing that – the knock that I will – and if there is a knock – I just think that Deshaun holds on to the ball entirely too long.
Okay, because sometimes they don't protect him right. and sometimes people can't get open.
But
he's just going to figure a way to beat you.
But Skip, some of those sacks, anytime we see a quarterback take a sack, we automatically assume it's the offensive line's fault. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Deshaun holds on to the ball too long. He subjects himself to hits that he shouldn't take. And over the course of time, those add up. I'm not saying Deshaun isn't good. But that guy right there, Skip, you do realize.
Who's tougher physically? What have you seen? What's been displayed for you?
My guy dislocated his kneecap.
On a quarterback sneak.
After 3 weeks.
In the history of football, nobody has ever gotten hurt on a quarterback sneak except that guy.
He had a knee like yeah. Popped yeah. it back in place. I'll be back in 3 weeks.
I don't know. There's always some knick-knack injury that he's fighting through.
All I know is 4,026-5.
All I know is he lost two straight home games, and I don't know how.
Hold on. Well, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Tom Brady lose a couple of home games, too?
Okay, now we're changing the subject. It's a classic case of, are we doing Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes?
But you make it seem like losing two straight home games is a bad thing. So losing to Miami to close out the season and then losing to Tennessee, now which is worse?
Mm. And, you know, I give you that Patrick Mahomes has a huge arm, but you know what whose arm is underrated is Deshaun Watson's.
Yeah.
It is rocket arm.
Give you you saw my homeboy throw the ball out of Arrowhead. Mm. Stand in the middle of the field and just throw it over the wall.
Mm. Does that count?
Yeah.
Does that win? Did they win that game that day?
So if we need to throw a 70-yard Hail Mary, we got it.
Yeah, you got it. I'm taking Deshaun all day and all night. I will win more games long-term.
I ain't going to be able to do that.
It's going to be a good game. I have a feeling this one is going to be good.
Watch my homeboy, Skip.
Scoring.
He going to show you why he's special.
Well, he's got a special football team. He's got a better defense. He's got the most special receiver core in pro football.
But you make it seem like Deshaun throwing the slouches.
Mm. Well, he's throwing to one really good receiver, and that's about it. No mercy.
Russell Westbrook made his return to Oklahoma City last night, and it prompted former teammate Kendrick Perkins to call Westbrook the best player to ever put on a Thunder jersey. Perkins dismissed the idea that he was overlooking Kevin Durant, and KD took exception to this on Twitter, calling out Perkins' lack of production with the Thunder. The two continued to exchange shots about the validity of Durant's two titles with the Warriors. So, Shannon, whose side are you on with this one?
Skip, it's really hard to pick a side in this situation, but I'm going to have to go with Perk for the simple fact he's entitled to his opinion. Now, if Perk says, I believe And it goes back two franchises. The Supersonics, who morphed into the OKC Thunder. That Russell Westbrook. Skip, I just want to make it crystal clear. I disagree with Perk. I think Kevin Durant is the best player that's donned a Supersonic in an OKC Thunder jersey. But it's not like Perk said Serge Ibaka was the best. Russ just averaged three straight years of triple-doubles. He is an MVP. He did. He did score 40 in a finals game, Skip, against the Miami Heat. So it's not like what Perk said is outlandish. It's like some people believe that Kobe Bryant is the best Laker. Some people say it's Magic. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's Kareem. As long as you don't say Mark Madsen, I ain't fighting you. He just can't let it go, Skip. He just can't. Mm. KD, I get it. If you want to do the emoji where you just, the emoji eyes, like you surprised that he said that, okay. But, man, you going to ruin friendship over this? Really, Skip? Come on, man. That's the man's opinion. Just like you didn't want anybody questioning your right via free agency to go join a loaded team. All Perk said was what everybody else is thinking. KD, you know. And Perk said, bruh, you joined a team that you had down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. You went and joined them. Every NBA player in the league, I shouldn't say every, there's no such thing as all and every, but 95% believe that was a weak sauce move by KD. Hmm. That's their opinion. Just like KD had a right. That's his choice to go where he wanted. He gets so upset, he don't want anybody to have an opinion that differs from his. Hmm. But I got to ride with Perk, Skip, because that's his opinion. I don't agree with it. Hmm. Kevin Durant's the best player in Seattle and OKC. But that's Perk's opinion. Hmm. KD shouldn't get upset about that.
Hmm. So, to your initial point about the Lakers, a lot of people think Kobe was the greatest. A lot of people think Magic was the greatest. There's a vast segment that think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was right. The greatest Laker. Right. We can just keep on right. going round and round and round right. about all of those
yes.
players. Nobody thinks Russell Westbrook was the greatest Thunder. Nobody. Nobody has ever made that case except for our man Perk. That was outlandish. That was out of bounds. I don't know if he's just trying to get a rise out of KD.
But it worked.
But them is fighting words.
Got it.
It worked. And KD will respond. He'll respond to anybody.
Yeah, sure.
He'd respond to Kendrick Smith on Twitter, right? It wouldn't matter. But the point is that once the fight started, Perk got nuked. Mm-hmm. He got dunked on in public about four times because that one shot that he fired back about you averaged a whopping two and three in that series that they were going back and forth. But you played hard, champ, said KD. You played hard. Kendrick always played hard, right?
Right.
But
Skip, you know, Perk was never the same once he tore that ACL in Boston. And when he had that knee injury against, in the finals against the Lakers, he wasn't the same.
Okay, so, but I think we all get that.
Right.
We agree with that. Now, to your weak sauce point about Kevin Durant, a lot of people definitely thought that. In
yes.
fact, I'll go 90% of
yes.
the NBA world and the Twitter world and the
right.
social world thought weak sauce.
Right.
But Kevin Durant backed it up.
Yes.
And just for the record, I'm going to say this one more time. I'm pretty sure I was the first to report 2 years before Kevin left that he was leaving Russell Westbrook, that he had decided 2 years before
sure.
he would never be able to win a championship with Russell Westbrook as his primary decision maker.
Right.
So I did not condemn him. In fact, I didn't even criticize
right.
him for joining a team that they had just had down 3-1
right.
in the conference finals. I got it because the truth was the Warriors begged him to join, right?
Right.
It wasn't just a luxury to add him on. No, it was their centerpiece.
It was a necessity.
It was a necessity. Because how many times have you told the story about Draymond
yeah!
went into the parking lot crying?
Crying, Jenny.
Crying.
Still on.
I mean,
yeah.
it's emotional.
Yeah.
His feelings were hurt.
Right off the court. Smelling like get back. Didn't even take a shower.
Yep. And
I don't know about that.
KD.
Call him K. No, you call him K. You call him KD. Hey, K. LeBron did it to us. Can you come help us?
Mm. Same Draymond who ultimately called that man the B word sitting on the bench against the Clippers.
So
right?
What you're starting to see, Skip, is that people, when they get upset with KD, tell the truth.
But I think even today, Draymond in his heart of hearts on a lie detector would say, boy, he was the best player we ever had.
Yes.
Right?
But two things can be, I'm a firm believer, two things can be true.
Yep.
You can be the best player and still, you know,
be that
guard utensil.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. You know.
Yep, that is true. Those two things can definitely
can be true.
But not only did KD join the champs, or they weren't the champs at that point, but join the juggernaut.
Right.
But he led them to back-to-back championships by winning finals MVP, and I did not see that coming. To this day, I'm like in awe. I'm like genuflecting to Kevin Durant because with the weight of the NBA world on his shoulders and everybody waiting for him to fall on his face in the first go-round against LeBron, he went into LeBron's house in game three and just took the game over and made the shot of shots right in LeBron's mug to win the game.
But let me ask you, well, put it to you like this, Skip. What if somebody says Steph Curry is the best player to ever play for the Golden State Warrior? Now, Rick Barrett, they're going to say Wilt. Some people are going to say Rick Barry. Okay, whatever.
A lot of people would say Rick Barry.
Okay, KD going to get upset? Because KD wore a Warriors jersey. I'll give you another example. I'll give you one better, Skip. If people say Dwayne Wade is the best player ever to wear a Heat jersey, now I'm going to disagree. Because I believe the guy that wore six for those 4 years was the best player to wear a Heat jersey.
But you're bringing up debatable issues. The Oklahoma City Thunder issue is not debatable. It was Kevin Durant.
But Skip.
First and last, it was Kevin Durant.
Skip, I think after he left, because Russ, the thing is that Russ could have asked to be moved after KD left, and he didn't. So I think, and Perkins said, I think what Perkins said, like, this guy stayed when he could have left. Now, look, Skip, like I said, I mean, the triple-double, and you call the triple-double, you say he's going to average a triple-double, he's going to win the MVP, and then he followed up again. He's followed up again. Mm-hmm. But, Skip, you're trying to make it seem like Russ is some stir-fry.
No,
he's
don't.
He's not.
If you want to say, if Kendrick wanted to tweet, he's the hardest playing Thunder player ever, boy, you got
that. No, he's the best.
Okay, but he said the best. If you want to say that Russell was the most exciting Thunder player ever, you can make a strong case for that. If you can say he was the more lovable of the two, you got that because KD's name is, it's mud right now in Oklahoma City.
It's mud in Golden State,
too. It's mud in Golden State. He just tends to do that. And by the way, your point about Perk burning the bridge between him and Kevin doesn't play like that. He'll go back and forth, and then he'll hug it out. It doesn't seem to phase Kevin. Yeah. He doesn't take it. He doesn't let it carry over.
That's fair.
Like, he doesn't carry
grudges. But I
didn't
get no argument, though. I believe, it is my belief that I am the greatest tight end in Baltimore Ravens history. Now, some people might say Todd Heap. Okay. Todd Heap was drafted. He spent more years there.
Sure.
I'm not about to get in no discussion and go back and forth with Ray Lewis or some of the guys that Peter Ballware, guys I played with on Twitter, because we got a disagreement about who was better. Okay, you believe that? I believe I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Perk was just playing to the crowd on that one because he knew he was going to create a firestorm. And I think he knew in his heart of hearts that KD was going to respond.
Very true.
And he did.
It's kind of like, it's like you're rallying the stick in the hole. You know animals in there. And
eventually
and pretty soon he come out there, oh, okay, I knew I could get you to come out. Like, so that's when you need KD.
Like Caddyshack, right? You know Caddyshack?
Yes, okay. I do. He knows he's in there.
Yep.
He knew, Skip. You know what? Perk was sitting there writing that thing. Somebody, if I hit Sid, I bet I get him.
You can see him smirking a little bit. Like,
you know what? It was a smirk.
Yeah, like,
I would agree.
Let me see what I can do here.
Okay.
Hey, Perk.
We've had him on.
Perk, you know, Perk got some French Bulldog puppy. Perk, I think I might get one of them old puppies of yours.
Oh, really?
Really?
They're pretty cute.
But again, on KD, then he goes to weakest move in NBA history.
Yeah.
Now, that's a mouthful, man.
Then it gets a little bit.
Yeah, that got different.
Yes. But, Skip, you think Perk is the only one that thought that?
No.
There are a lot of NBA.
I know, but he said it.
Yes!
He tweeted it. It's out there. It's for posterity.
How long did you think Draymond sit on what he thought of KD before he actually uttered it? That wasn't no spur of the moment. You don't think the first thing come to your mind in the argument, oh, you this.
Mm.
You done thought about that a long time.
Mm.
You think about stuff a long time before you build up the courage, the stomach to say it.
Draymond uttered the same word at LeBron James in the middle of game four of the 2015 finals, right?
Yep.
He said that B word to LeBron, and now they're like business partners.
But, like KD, LeBron stepped towards, say, excuse me, bro, what you say?
Huh?
KD went on the sideline talking about, hey, Boogie, tell him don't call me that again. That's what he did. LeBron stepped toward LeBron, said, first and foremost, basketball aside, I'm a husband and I'm a father. There are certain things you don't say to me on the court, or I'm going to have to deal with you.
I don't remember that.
That's what he said.
I think he just put words in his mouth and in his
good,
head.
But I don't know.
But I'm just saying, what KD do? Went over there to talk to Boogie. And talk about Boogie. You go talk to Draymond for me and tell him to apologize? I ain't apologizing for nothing.
By the way, that B word from Draymond to LeBron changed LeBron's legacy because it got that literally that word, because he yelled it out. Yeah. You could hear it at courtside. It got Draymond suspended for game five and turned that series around.
We're going to get him
or
anyway.
LeBron would have another.
LeBron said, you know what? Hey, LeBron said, we got this. He said, all we got to do is win game five and the pressure. Because you ain't not going to beat us in game six. And he dropped that 41. Mm-hmm. He and Kyrie dropped. And then he dropped another 41. Yep. And then he put that 27-point triple dub.
Kyrie dropped
There you go. What about that block? What about the blocks heard around the world?
Thanks to J.R. Smith. The block built for two, like a bicycle built for two.
Like a bicycle. Yeah. Is this the end between the two, or do you think we'll see some more tweets?
Man, they let it go.
I think we'll let
them go. Going to apologize, KD.
Man,
KD
doesn't miss a thing on social media.
He must be got people on staff.
He's got a little time right now.
Hey, if anything, we're at KD Trey in that thing. Y'all need to let me know about it.
Oh, my gosh. No mercy. The league's leading rusher, Derrick Henry, has hit his stride at the right point. The Titans running back has gone over 100 yards in six of his last seven games, including his 182-yard game on the ground that single-handedly knocked out Tom Brady and the Patriots in Foxborough last week. That day was also his birthday. Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson joining us now. Eric, do you see any of yourself in Derrick Henry?
That's a great question.
Well, first of all, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I met Derrick Henry, really nice young man.
Okay. Where did you meet him?
It was a signing. I forgot what city, maybe Chicago or someplace. Mm-hmm. And this guy said, I want you to meet Derrick Henry. I said, I want to meet him. I'm saying, I'm good.
2 years ago?
It was coming into his rookie season.
Okay.
So, and I walked up to him, I'm like, dang, he's a big running back. I mean, I'm 6'3". I played at 220, 225. And he is wide. I mean, he's big and wide.
Is he taller than 6'3"?
I think he's about 6'4½, almost 6'5".
Wow.
I mean, he's a big guy. So when I see him.
I was at the game, Skip, in October when the Broncos played Derrick Henry.
True.
I'm 245. Derrick Henry, 15, 20 pounds heavier.
He is not 245.
Derrick Henry is 15 to 20 pounds heavier than me.
Yeah, I thought.
So we're going 6'4½, 260?
I guarantee you 260.
Easy 6'5 or 6'4½, 255, 260.
This is a huge human being.
Yes!
This is a big man. And, you know, and the thing, I think when people saw him come out of college, you know, I think about those Alabama running backs, take a lot of hits.
Rest.
You know, a lot of hits. And they look at his speed, I think a 4.55, you know, they think it's not real fast. But to me, that 40 is always overrated.
Yes.
I just think it's over. I think, you know, you cannot really compare guys, the heart of, especially a running back. I ran a 4.340 or 4.3 flat and 4.31. And when I looked at him, I'm like, it's a lot like me. But, you know, the thing is that with Derrick Henry, as the game goes on, just like I did, when you get to those 25, 30 carries, all of a sudden, that's when that defense don't want anymore. You saw it in New England. I won't forget when we played the Detroit Lions my rookie season. I came on the field, and you know, you've been hearing how big I was. It's two DBs. They said, that's a running back. Damn, that's a big running back. And I guarantee you, guys said that about Derrick Henry.
Yes, absolutely.
They said, man, that's a defensive lineman. I mean, and in the fourth quarter, you know, you don't want to take them hits. Mm-mm. I can tell you, when we played the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, here we go again.
Had to bring it up, Skip.
You're talking about the playoff game.
The playoff game. We played the Cowboys. I was giving it to him. Matter of fact, it was one guy. Eugene Lockhart. Me and Eugene Lockhart hated each other.
With the University of Houston. Yep.
We always talk noise to each other. And so that game, I couldn't wait. You know, he was talking about the game. I'm talking to him. I don't really talk. And about the third quarter, he tried to arm tackle me. I broke his forearm.
Oof.
And when I went by, I said, oh, that hurt, that didn't it? That hurt. I could see. They didn't want no more of that. And with Derrick Henry, you see the same thing. Later on in the game, those defenses, They just don't. They don't want him anymore.
Okay, so we are starting to see a little Eric Dickerson then in Derrick Henry.
A little bit. I mean, because
just a little bit.
I like the big backs. I mean, I feel like a big back can really dish it out. Because think about it, late in the game, a guy that's 5'8", 5'9", what is he really going to do? I mean, he's a scat back. I mean, he's quick. I mean, but a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", you 6'3", them linebackers, they got to take on those hits. They got to wrestle with this offensive lineman. I got to make this tackle.
And it was cold and rainy.
Oh, they're showing it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, look at that. Look. Now, look. Everybody, I don't want none of that.
Oh, he wasn't.
They hugging him. They hugging him. Look right now. Now, he don't. Look, I'm just going to reach out.
22,
I'm going to push him out of bounds. Like I say, they making business decisions with him.
What I look at is, the only thing, the similarities I see between you two guys, yeah, both of you are big running backs, but it's the upright running style. Hmm. ED was not a run-to-contact running back. This guy is running. He's looking for a collision. If I need the first down,
I'd run.
I'll get you.
Okay.
But Henry, he's not avoiding any contact. First down, second down, third down, it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. He's looking to punish somebody for the very reason ED's talking about. Come late third, fourth quarter, I'll make you turn it down. I'll make you, nah, I want this. I'm going to try to push you out of bounds. I'm not trying to stop you in the hole. So that's really the only similarities. And Skip, we asked about, could he be an all-time great? We asked that early in the week with Reggie. I said, I'm going to need more production.
Yep.
Because ED led the league in rushing his first 2 years. Four of your first 6 years,
yeah,
you led the league in rushing. Mm-hmm. So we saw that production from ED early on, and it didn't stop. He changed teams and still led the league in rushing. So for me, I'm going to need to see a little bit more of it. But, Skip, you got to see, I just wish people could see Derrick Henry up close.
Yes.
To really get a sense of just how, and people's like, man, you big. Derrick Henry outweighs me by 15, 20 pounds, I promise you. And he's, I'm 6'2".
That's crazy.
Derrick Henry's 6'4", 6'3", at bare minimum.
Easy 6'4". I'm telling you, when you see him.
Like, can I ask a dumb question? Yeah. Why list him at 6'3", then? If he's bigger and weighs more, why
I don't
would
know.
You
sometimes
list him?
I mean, I have not, I would I want to list him bigger.
Yeah.
Because like, in the old days, the guy was, if he was 5'10", or if the guy was 6'4", they list him at 6'6½". You know,
sure.
You know, 255. You know, he may be 235.
Yeah.
But it sounds better for a running back to be 6'3", 245.
Does?
As opposed to 260. You're like, oh, that joke is too.
Like he won't run.
He can't run.
Fast?
Yeah. He's too slow.
But that joke, man.
So I've said many times, sitting in this chair with this man sitting to my left, he, to me, was the greatest running back who ever carried a football. And there are a bunch of great ones, but I just believe in power and speed, the combination. I've never seen anything like this, but I had the privilege of seeing him when he was a freshman in his first summer camp at Southern Methodist University, and it was just extraordinary. It was man among boys when he stepped on your first SMU practice field. But to my eye, and I'm just watching TV, and I've been watching a whole lot of games on TV for a whole long time, it really knocked my eyes out to see what he did to the Patriot defense on Saturday night. Because what is the mantra about Bill Belichick? He takes away what you do best.
Yep.
Yeah.
He couldn't take this away. His defense was quitting on him in the fourth quarter because of every reason you just gave. I said, it's a moose who's running like a deer, because I saw a burst that shocked me, a burst that I've been hoping that I would continue to see in my guy Ezekiel Elliott that I did not see this year. I'm talking about TV burst, mm-hmm, where it leaps off your screen and you say, really? Because I get running over people, but he was also running past people.
Yeah.
182 yards, 96 of those yards came after contact. Mm-hmm. So he's running over somebody, and then he's accelerating, and I didn't know he had that in him because I don't think the Titans thought he had that in him. Mm-hmm. This is a fairly new phenomenon, and I know he led the league in rushing, but he didn't really catch fire until the last five games,
right,
when they started feeding the beast. Mm-hmm. He averaged 26 carries a game in the last five, and they're just going up, 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 up.
Right.
And I'm looking for 30-ish. I don't know what you – what was your high carries? I don't know. Did you ever 38 carries? Okay. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see 35-ish carries, wow, at Baltimore, depending on if they can score first.
Well, Skip, they were splitting carries with him.
Right.
He's a guy that he needs a bare minimum 25,
okay,
because it's those last 10.
Because they had signed Deion Lewis,
right,
their little scat back,
right,
from New England, right?
Right, right.
And for the longest, they were trying to put the game in Marcus Mariota's hand. Yeah. And finally, they said, no more of him. Ryan Tannehill, you got the job, but we are going to feed the beast.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And if Ryan Tannehill throws 10 passes, they're going to be happy if they win because that's how they play football.
Right.
Okay.
But if you look at Derrick Henry's career, Skip, if you look at him his sophomore year, he had limited touches. It is like, okay, man, that's a big guy. He can do some things. And then his junior year, when they gave him all those touches, 2,200 yards. He's a guy, he needs the ball. Mm-hmm. He's not like some guys, Skip, like we see guys that split carries, and sometimes they can get like Tony Pollard. That game against the Rams, he had, what, 13, 14 carries? Go for it. That's not Derrick Henry. Mm-mm. Derrick Henry needs carries. Mm. And if you give him carries, you'll reap the benefits, the tail end. The last 10, the 12 carries is where you're going to see those yards because everybody's tired of trying to bang
that
on him
true.
Those first 12 to 15 carries.
It's like that diesel truck. You start it up and it's going on the freeway.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you get on get at open road, all of a sudden, it's
Way,
it's
like
opened up.
Analogy.
Yeah. And that's Derrick Henry. I mean, I was a back. I liked over 20 carries. Like people say, oh, he got 15, man, 15 or 6. That's no carry. That's no carries to me.
You just get me warmed up.
Give me that 25, 26. I was good with 30 carries.
Okay.
I mean, because now.
So can the potential next Eric Dickerson carry the Tennessee Titans to a win at Baltimore on Saturday night?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. You know what? I think that if I'm the Titans, if they win the coin toss, they should take the ball because
Absolutely.
They need to score.
Right.
They need to score. They need to take them and to have that 15-play drive, you know, 15-play, get it on down there. And because I think people say that, you know, Baltimore has had 2 weeks off. You know, they might be a little bit rusty.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So they might be a little bit rusty. But let me tell you something. This is a well-oiled machine. They're well-coached. I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens will lose this football game unless – you know, by some chance, like to say that they can sustain these, you know, just keep Lamar Jackson on the sideline. That's the only
right.
way they win.
I agree.
But other than that, I think that Baltimore will win this football game. And I'll say my score. I'll give you a score. I think 30-14. I think they're gonna beat them good.
30-14.
I think they're gonna beat them really good. You gotta understand, Skip, as you know, this is a really good football team.
They're really good.
They really good. They do a lot of things really well.
And opening drive, they're normally really good.
Really good.
Drive.
After
you
Rams.
You don't want to send that message where Lamar comes on the field first and he goes 14, 16 plays, and they're like, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh.
3 weeks off. They can feels run. Like
they
a
can
long
run
time,
it because they weren't really concerned last week about the Patriots running the football.
Okay. What's your score?
Yours was
31-20.
31-20.
So you got it fairly solid.
31-20.
Okay, 31 points. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I got a bad feeling for my guy, Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. The league needs Lamar to advance. Fox needs Lamar to advance to the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is on Fox. Undisputed will be there all week on South Beach. And yet, this is wrong place, wrong time, I feel or fear, for the Ravens. Because 3 weeks, it's almost 3 weeks, it's 20 days off, is just too many for a young quarterback and a hot offense. I think they will start slow while Tennessee will go in there and start fast. I think Tennessee will score first and maybe score second. And if they score second also, it's going to be a long day because they're going to have to try to tackle the moose who runs like a deer.
You know, I don't think the league has figured out Lamar Jackson yet. You know, one thing is, especially with the quarterbacks, now you really can't hit him. And he can do so many things. You know, and I said this to some friends of mine. We're talking about Lamar Jackson. When you're fast, you do everything fast. You move fast. I mean, he runs fast. He reads the defenses really fast.
He does.
When he does that read option, you see it. It's almost like a read option. All of a sudden, I see the guy coming open fast. And so for him, I don't think it's going to change. I mean, I just feel like that. I know his last year, San Diego beat him up. He had a terrible game. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson went to Louisville. He didn't go to Alabama. I mean, he's a guy like myself. I guarantee he's heard his whole life, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't play quarterback. I think at one point, they want to move him from quarterback. His mom went to say, oh, no. My son playing quarterback.
Yeah. They asked him, did he want to try wearing some receiver?
He wanted to play some receiver. No,
wait a second. Nobody ever said you couldn't do anything.
Oh, yes, they did.
They did not.
Really? Trust me, Skip.
You were the Skip, number one recruit in the nation.
But let me tell you, being the number one recruit, but, you know, I kept hearing, he's from a small school, 2A school.
Okay. It's always something.
Yeah, he can't, man. It, I heard it. Eric playing pro football? Oh, when I went, wait till you get to college. Them the big boys.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna make it up there. Why? So when I did it well in college, okay. I wait till you get to the pro. Damn. But then all of a sudden, when I had a 2,000 yards, yeah, he good, but he ain't my kind of back.
Oh, yeah, there's always
he not my kind of player. So, hey.
I mean, you.
The best player come from Class A.
Yeah. Mm.
Herschel Walker.
Thank you.
Sam Bailey. Myself. Mm. My brother.
Damn, you got bad.
Garrison Hurst.
Mm.
All us Class A, Skip.
Mm.
George Rogers in Class A.
You just put yourself in the same sentence with Herschel Walker?
I might have been a better NFL player than Herschel while you were talking. College and high school. Now, I can't remember where Big Dog in high school was 3,000 yards in 13 games.
Oh,
Big Dog was doing it back then.
Oh, he was doing it.
Looking forward to this one. Oh, by the way, did you see what Derrick Henry got his O-line?
What do you got?
Some new Rolexes. Thank you. So he's thanking the guys.
I used to do that, but I couldn't buy Rolexes. I bought some rings and some boots.
I'll take a Rolex.
My first Pro Bowl in All Pro was 93. I took my incentive money and I brought the offensive lineman Rolexes.
See, how awesome is that?
You got to take care of them guys.
I wish I had that money back right now, though.
So if they do it again, does he have to buy another?
I don't know how you keep it. Hey, nah, they better get some.
It's impressive either way. This will be a good one.
Four wheelers or something.
Yeah, something. Eric, always good to have you, especially for that one. No mercy. Well, based on Tom Brady's most recent Instagram post, we know he wants to keep playing, but what we don't know is what team it will be for. According to Peter King, when Brady is looking for a team to sign a new deal with, King thinks, quote, the surrounding cast is going to be a little bit more important than money. So, Shannon, do you agree that Brady is focused on the supporting cast over money in his new deal?
Yeah, he should. He should go where he could win, Skip. But here's the most important thing. If Brady were the league, his legacy is depending on him winning. And supporting cast, see, people think supporting cast is always running back, wide receivers, offensive line. But he had the number one scoring defense. Mm. That's a supporting cast also. And I think people lose sight of that, Skip. People say, well, Coach Belichick hadn't surrounded him with anything. Well, Coach Belichick says, I've given you top 10 scoring defenses year after year after year that enable us, and even if you don't play well, yeah, not to diminish Tom Brady, Skip, but I think the thing for him, the most important thing, is him versus Belichick, and he has to win. See, it is different than him than Peyton, because, Skip, Peyton called everything. Mm-hmm. Peyton did everything. So no matter how the head coach, now, it did help that he ended up going to Denver, getting the two Super Bowls and winning one. But everybody, as long as he was in Denver, they're like, well, Peyton's running everything. So whether it was Dungy or Coach Caldwell, Peyton got the credit. He went to Denver, goes with John Fox and Gary Kubiak. But Peyton called on his plays. So this is of the utmost importance. It's imperative that if he leaves New England, Skip, he goes where he can win immediately. Because it's not his team against the Patriots. It's him versus Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And if Belichick goes 12 and 4. Brady's 10 and 6, 11 and 5. Whew. And don't let Belichick win a playoff game and Brady doesn't.
Mm.
Skip, you know how this thing gets spun. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing for him, forget the money. If I can go somewhere, Skip, because look, when Peyton Manning made his decision, he had three choices: Arizona, Tennessee, or the Broncos. Two other places had more money on the table, but they didn't have Demaryius and Decker and Julius Thomas and No'Shawn and Von Miller. They didn't have all that. Denver did. That's what Peyton should factor in. Absolutely. The supporting cast, what gives me the best chance to get to and beat the brakes off Coach Belichick.
Mm, okay, I got you. So, of late in the sports world, we've had to deal with two runaway media trains, two erupting volcanoes of misinformation. Number one was this notion that Jerry Jones is now committed to finding his next Jimmy Johnson, the upcoming college coach who will change life in Dallas, and that he is leaning toward his new good friend, Lincoln Riley.
Hmm.
How many times do we have to deal with that?
Right.
Maybe even Urban Meyer. And by the way, I ran into Urban in the hallway here.
Yeah?
He works at Fox yesterday. He just shrugged and said, I never even got a phone call. So obviously, in the plans remotely.
Correct.
Okay. And he wasn't unhappy about it because he's onward
and
upward.
Right.
He'll be just fine, but I do think he would have made a great next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Ohio State might be still sending out checks, too, though.
Okay. All right. Well, it's fine. So is Fox.
Yeah.
Fox is paying pretty well, too.
So that was misinformation number one, because then Jerry flipped that script completely on its head and said, no, I was looking for the most experienced coach. Well that's all I read right. for days was he's looking college. There's even some Matt Rhule to that. Right. What? Matt Rhule?
And Skip, it wasn't like all of a sudden Mike McCarthy became available. Mike McCarthy never even came up.
Okay.
Until he was the last 48 hours.
Now, this brings us to misconception number two over the last couple of weeks, and that is Tom Brady now wants Max money.
Exactly.
Where did this come from? Tom Brady is not known to confide in any media people. It's right. not like he has lots of off-the-record relationships with lots of local New England reporters.
Right.
I don't know where it started, but boy, it took on a life of its own, and we had to deal with Rob Parker on our show yesterday, just annihilating Tom Brady for how dare you want max money now after you've taken a hometown
21.
Discount yeah. all those years.
Yeah.
There's no way he wants top dollar. In fact, to me, Tom Brady should basically offer to play for free to the Los Angeles Chargers, right. who have one weakness that needs to get addressed and fixed, mm-hmm. and it's what protects him, the offensive line.
Right.
They got all the other components of a great offense. They got the running back and the little running back who can catch it, and they got lots of receivers.
They're probably going to lose Melvin Gordon.
Maybe.
He's probably going to be gone.
Maybe.
But, Skip.
You just don't know.
You got a defense.
Okay.
Ingram and Bosa. And Derwin James is back.
Stud. You got Pro Bowlers.
And your cornerback okay, that you love from Vanderbilt.
Casey Hayward.
Yes.
Yep.
Skip, so you got pieces.
You got lots of pieces. So you just need to be able to protect
yes.
the 40, what is it going to be?
It'd be 43 in August.
43-year-old Tom Brady. So if he goes in and says, pay me the minimum, you can factor all that money. You can channel it into free agency uh-huh. or, you know, again, high draft picks in the yeah. offensive line. Uh-huh. Why would he want money? He's never wanted money. And by the way, I don't think he needs money.
No.
What would be the point of now trying to make a statement? I'm 43 and I deserve $40 million.
Yeah. I mean, Tom is looking at it like, I don't need any more money. I don't need any less either. You know, that's the thing. But I think for him, Skip, if he can go to a situation and he has quality receivers, quality tight end, offensive line that can protect, a defense. Because, Skip, if you put all your money, we've seen teams put all their money on offense and then they have bottom feeder at yeah. defense and then they'll wonder why they lost. Well, Tom understands that, you know, look, I can't have Julio and Mike Thomas at wide receivers. I'm not going to get Kittles or Travis Kelce at tight end. I'm not going to have all that. But just give me a little bit more than what I got. For me, Skip, this is simple. It's not that complicated at all. He leaves, it's Tom Brady versus Belichick.
Okay, well, that's fine. So why wouldn't you max your chances to put him back
in his place? Oh, I totally would. I totally would.
You don't need yeah. any money. You don't need salary. By the way, we all know.
$30 million with a less talented roster or $20 million with a talented roster.
Okay. Or $12 million
yeah.
or $10 million.
Nah, he ain't paying for that.
Okay, but
he go home.
How low do you think he would go? That seems low.
Okay, remember what Tim Duncan did in his last yeah. 5 years as a Spur?
Right.
He was taking single-digit millions.
Okay.
He was yeah. taking $5 million.
Fair.
Again, just to maximize the bench.
I'm saying, Tom, he made 23. Skip, it's hard for me to see that he takes less than 20.
Okay, but to what end? What are a couple of million when your whole legacy is on the line against the coach you deeply, you know, deep down don't love?
What, you want him to take? What, you want him to take 10?
But at some point, it's insulting.
Why not? I'm serious about this. Why wouldn't you offer to play for free? What do you need that money for?
Obviously,
but your wife makes a whole lot of money.
That's her
we
money.
All know
but
that.
You
That's
be
her
paid
money.
For what you're worth.
They got separate accounts. That's her money.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, Tom, don't come dipping in my stash.
How many times have I told you this about LeBron James? All that should matter right now are championships.
Yeah.
How do you maximize your opportunity to win a championship? You take less money.
Skip,
but he says, no.
But Skip,
I'm LeBron James.
But you said, with all the discounts that they've given Tom Brady, where's the money
okay,
going?
Okay, that I don't know.
Exactly.
It feels sabotagey what happened with Bill Belichick because he never provided anywhere near the supporting cast right. that Tom's discount should have provided.
Because if
right?
you look at it, Skip, it wasn't like Edelman and Amendola and Hogan, like you broke the bank to pay them. The running back situation, offensive lineman, you're not paying them Tyron Smith and Zach Martin type money. So Gronk was the only one that made some decent money, and that was early because at the tail end, he wanted a contract extension okay. because he saw how vastly he was underpaid.
In the last 4 years, the only one they paid for was Stephon Gilmore.
That's it. That's it.
Where did the money go?
So I'm saying he taking all these discounts, and Brady probably sitting back like, hold on. I'm taking all these discounts. Where you spending the money?
Yeah. Okay, that's why.
Is it in the mattress somewhere?
Elsewhere. And I'm pretty sure I was the first to say this maybe 3 weeks ago. I just believe L.A. Chargers make all the sense in the world.
But I tell you what, you know the L.A. Chargers, they got a guy that got big money. Now, he got more money than Mr. Kraft. Stan Kroenke.
Yeah. Okay.
He got it.
Wait. The Chargers or the Rams?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was okay. thinking the Rams. No.
Yeah, we're doing
I don't know, Skip. Okay. I don't know. I might have to stick with Mr. Kraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Now, you're going to the big new building?
That's why the Chargers need him as badly as he needs
so,
them.
Gotta
sell tickets.
He's going, yep. Now that I know that you need me, the price just shot up.
Okay. Well, you. Steady. Okay, but that's self-defeating. I don't get. Skip, I get most people would think that.
But Skip, he had all those guys that are there, Eckler and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. They're under contract.
Okay.
Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. They're under contract. Mm-hmm. Now, Bosa's gonna be up now.
Wow. Yeah.
You got one more. You probably got one more year before you have to pay him big dollars.
Okay.
So.
This is it.
It's interesting.
Take $5 million, Tom, and live in Brentwood again.
I don't see that.
And star in the greatest new stadium in sports. Is there any law against taking? Is there any rule?
No.
Did the player association not like it?
Yes.
Or they would not
like it. Yeah, no. Because, Skip, you know what's going to happen. Now they're going to start paying everybody.
With but Tom they won't.
Yeah, they will.
Because everybody would make an exception for that guy. He is the GOAT, and he's going on 43.
No.
You just take
the,
less.
The player association should avoid the contract. We are not allowing Tom Brady to play for $5 million.
I'm sorry. He's Tom Brady. He can do whatever he wants to do.
He's a player association.
He's the one exception to this rule.
No, yeah. Because you know how the owners are, Skip. That's one exception that they want everybody to be. That's what got them messed up in Dallas right now. Because Tom Brady has taken pay cuts, and they want everybody to take a pay cut.
I don't know.
Which Jerry always
can't
say?
See it.
Do you realize the size of check I'd write for another Lombardi? Well, do you realize how little money Tom Brady would take for another Lombardi?
Oh, he would definitely pay for free. No mercy.
Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper is set to become an unrestricted free agent this offseason. According to Pro Football Focus, Amari has all the tools to be a top five receiver in the league and could command a huge salary, especially considering that Amari is only 25 years old, which is considerably younger than the other receivers like Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, those elite receivers that we're seeing right now. Shannon, does Amari deserve to be the highest paid receiver?
Skip, I hate when you say deserve. But do I believe he should be the highest paid? No, based on production. And it's Skip, he's too inconsistent. Do you know that he's never had back-to-back 100-yard games when he was with the Cowboys? The last seven games of the season, Skip, 0 100-yard games. Now, the two highest paid receivers is Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas had 70 more catches and 500 more yards than Amari. Julio had 20 more catches and 200 more yards than Amari. And the thing that he mentioned, yeah, he might be younger, but there's not one even Dallas Cowboy fan, Skip, that would take Amari Cooper over Julio, Mike Thomas, or DeAndre Hopkins. See, getting what you deserve is not being about good, it's about being free. And Amari Cooper is about to be free. So I don't ever want to say, well, he don't deserve that. You get what the market will bear. Skip, he's about to hit, if they don't franchise him, he's going to hit the open market. And you know teams overpay because, Skip, why would I leave where I'm comfortable? If I'm married, I got a wife, I got kids, we're comfortable, we've been in the community. Why would I uproot that if you're not going to overpay me to come to you? So somebody's going to pay him somewhere between $18, $20 million because I think Mike Thomas got 5 years, like $20 million, or $100 million. And Julio's close to over $20 million. Julio got, 3 years, $66 million, $60 guaranteed at the time of signing. So he's going to get a handsome payday, Skip. But I don't think when I look at Amari Cooper, I'm not taking him over. I'm not taking Amari Cooper over Adam Thielen. I'm not taking him over Mike Evans. Chris Godwin. I'm not, no, Skip. No. They're way, way better receivers. Top five, you could say that by any position, you could say he could be a top five player. Name the player that you can't say that about. If he works hard and yada, yada, yada. No. What is he now? Amari Cooper's not top five.
You realize I'm not fighting back right now because this topic is tearing me apart. I am losing sleep over this topic. I love him. I love him not. I love him. I love him not. A lot of times I love him not.
You're right.
He changed life when Jerry acquired him midseason last year. Mm-hmm. It turned the whole year and team around. And they took off and won 8 of their last 10 games. And he developed a sensational rapport and wavelength with Dak Prescott. They do love each other.
Right.
He loves the ball that Dak throws, and Dak loves the routes that he runs because he is a technician of a route runner.
He is.
And he's still only 25 years of age. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bite through the bullet and say Jerry is stuck. He has no choice but to.
Damned
and
I hate if you
that,
do.
You're damned if you do. Yeah. You're definitely damned if you don't.
Exactly.
Because you replace him with
what?
I don't know. Can you snap your fingers and get Michael Thompson? Nope, you cannot. There are days I'd rather have N'Keal Harry than Amari Cooper. But here's the problem with Amari Cooper. I'm afraid you're going to have to pay him top dollar.
I'm
talking about number one receiver, you know, the top of the food chain of receivers for 8 games a year because he is sensational at home and he is basically a bust on the road.
He is.
And if I just give you quickly the numbers just this year, 8 home, 8 away. He caught 52 balls at home. He caught 27 away. That's scary, man. He averaged 17 yards a catch at home, 12 yards a catch away. That's a significant drop.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged, not average, he caught 40 balls for first downs at home, only 14 for first downs away.
Mm-hmm.
His catch rate at home was 80%. 80%, that means of all your targets, you caught 80%. On the road, he caught 52% of the passes thrown to him.
50-50 on the road, huh?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's scary. And what happened at New England? I had to sit and watch the receiver I love take himself out of the game because Stephon Gilmore embarrassed him.
Had him locked
up. He just locked him up to the point he basically said, no, Moss.
And what did Philly? In the game, you got to win, Skip. They say, nah, you come on and sit with us because you're doing more damage than you help.
Last two series at Phil, the game is on the year is on the line. And the coaches said after the game, we took him out on performance. Not because he gave up or he was getting owned by some DB. They don't have anybody who can own you.
Mm.
They pulled him because they thought, especially to the last play of the game, they thought Blake Jarwin gave them a better chance of catching a ball in the end zone.
And you about to get that man 5 years, $105, $110 million with a $65, $70 million guarantee.
Wow.
That's what you about to do.
He's always nicked up. And I can't, you never know how hurt a player is. But you gave him some breaks during the year and you'd say, well, I think he's hurt.
Yes.
Okay, he had a foot injury that led to an ankle injury that led to a knee injury.
But let me tell you, Skip Bayless, when they give you the big, big dollars,
got to go, got to play. I'll even hark back to the debacle at the Jets this year. What happened on the first play of the game? He catches a ball and gets just routinely tackled to me. It looked routine.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled himself out for the rest of the game that they lost 24-22 to the Jets.
Well, again,
now because he's free, you got to pay him number one dollars?
Well, Skip, all you got to do, when you look at it, you're about to have, if this thing go according to the way Jerry plans, you're about to have Minnesota's offense. You're about to have Thielen and Diggs. You're about to have a Rudolph, a Dalvin Cook, and your offensive line is better than Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, Taylor... And you're going to have Randy Moss. You're going to have Jerry Rice and John Taylor, Skip.
Okay.
This thing can be special.
He's
not going to break it up.
But Jerry's going to hope that Mike McCarthy makes Amari Cooper his Davante Adams.
Yeah.
And maybe he can.
Well, you never know. Right now, feeling better about it.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
One of one.